All right, if you have your Bibles this morning, 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter 2. We'll read verses 7 and 8. You can hold it there, we'll come back to it later in the message. 2 Peter 2, 7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. That righteous man dwelleth among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. There are many preachers that would say we would have never known that Lot was a Christian had it not been for that verse. I wonder why we would think that. For some reason, you go back to the Old Testament, read about Lot, it doesn't say anything about him committing a lot of sin. The only thing it says about him is he looked. And after he looked, he began to journey in that direction. And it was away from the things of the Lord. It was to a place, if you'd like to turn back the book of Genesis, you'll find the stories there very clear. His servants and Abraham's servants were contending one another. And as they did that, Abraham said, "It's not good. It's not good to argue. It's not good to fight over this stuff." Would to God Baptists would learn that. Amen. But said, "We don't want this division to be among you. You choose whichever way you want to go, and I'll choose the way I want to go. Or I'll take the other direction. Whatever way you go, I'll go the opposite direction. There's no problem with me. Choose." And the scripture says that Lot beheld the well-watered plain. What business was he in? Cattle. What would you have chosen? I know we sanctified Holy Baptists would have said, "Well, I wouldn't have wanted that grass and water." I'd have said, "Abraham, you take the grass and water, and I'll take this desert, and I'll do the best I can with my cattle, and you have all that good water and grass." I know that, just like I know that you... Georgia fans, every time you play Alabama, you say, "Now, Alabama, I hope you're going to win. I'm praying for you to win and for us to lose, and because I'm so spiritual and I live in the Bible Belt and I prefer my brother above myself." Amen? Everybody do that? Maybe we could vice versa. The Alabama fans pray for the Georgia team to win. Don't happen, does it? We like to think we're so super spiritual, but in the matter... This matter, particularly, I think there's not a person in this building would not have made the same choice that Lot did. For the simple reason, he was looking to make a living raising cattle, and he chose the portion of land that would make him a success, and he became a success. Now I want you to look at the word, vexed. He vexed his righteous soul. It's a good word. Solomon said that life, when he looked at it under the sun, he was not looking above, he was not looking to the things of God. But under the sun, he says, life is nothing in the world but vanity and vexation of spirit. And this man was vexed. What does it mean to be vexed? Well, there in verse number 7, the word means to wear down with toil. In verse number 8, it means to torture or to pain or to bring pain. It's used again in Matthew chapter number 15 in verse 22. And the woman of Cana of Galilee came and cried unto the Lord, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." That way, that place, it means to be possessed by demons. Then in Matthew 17:15, it quoted this way, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water." This means to experience the sensation of, or the impression of feeling possessed, to suffer. And the words that it's used there, we get our word psychopath from. And then in Luke 18, they were vexed with unclean spirits were healed. We could go on. There's a multitude of scripture that talks about this vexation and being vexed. What does it mean? Are you vexed this morning? Am I vexed? My mother used to say, you better watch them people, they'll put a hex on you. Not the same thing. This word vexed simply means this, to wear out, to wear down, to tear down. So what's he talking about? He's talking about Lot being in the situation that is not conducive to the things of God, and it's wore him out. It has pulled him down. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are we as spiritual today as we were 30 years ago? In America, do we hate the same things in America today that we hated 30 years ago? Are we the same, or has what's going on around us begun to wear us down? You do realize that old-fashioned, Holy Ghost, Christianity is not popular today. And you do realize if you're a Muslim, everybody wants you to have your rights. But if you're an old-time Christian, they want you to shut your mouth up and sit down and not say anything about it. So we are becoming vexed by the world. In other words, the world is wearing us down. You see, it's not as easy to live the Christian life as some people like to make it sound like it is. I get kind of suspicious of these people. It's always up. Because the days I'm down, tell you the truth, that's all I can get through the day. Because I have to deal with a society that is directly opposite from everything I believe and stand for, and it wears you down. And simply, that's what happened to Lot. He was wore down by what he was seeing and hearing around him. And I want to tell you, I can't prove this, but I'm happy to tell you, you can't prove I'm wrong. But I can't prove this, but this is what I think happened. Lot began the journey towards Sodom. He ends up in Sodom. What business was Lot in? He was in the cattle business. And so he's there, and in Sodom, they have many hundreds of temples to worship false gods. And it is a good market for him to supply the sacrificial animals. But they only offer certain parts of those animals. And he could go to the temple and buy back what they didn't offer and open up a meat market with reduced prices. So he was getting it on both ends. And I believe he became a success. And the reason I know he was a success because he was in the gate. And to be in the gate, you had to have some measure of credibility and wealth. So he sat in the gate, and he was there. He had become a success in Sodom. You and I may become a success in the society that we're living in, but would you say that we're great sinners because we become a success? Was it a great sin what he was doing? Had he gone against God? It does not say that he, in the scripture, that he ever committed adultery. It doesn't say that he was a liar. It doesn't say he was a cheat. It just said he was worn out with the ways of the people that were around him. And we're living in a day, if we're not careful, the surroundings that we live in will wear us down. And people say things on television today that would not have been said in the bar halls years ago. There are things said in our homes today that if I had said it in my home, my dad had slapped me halfway across the room. And we take it for granted. We just think it's a part of life. Do you suppose that's what happened to Lot? When he lived there, he said, well, you know, I don't agree with this stuff, but I've got to live in the society. And so therefore, I'm going to learn to live in this society. And I'm going to learn to live in such a way that I don't contradict them, because quite frankly, I don't like to take the criticism they give me if I go against it. Good question, isn't it? Lord, Lot made a choice. If you want to see it in Genesis 13:10, it says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered. Everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord in the land of Egypt, as thou comest out of Zoar. He made the right choice. Now, I just put it before you this morning, and I'm not going to answer it for you, but I'm asking you a question. Desert, well-watered plain, which way would you go? No use me asking you. I need to ask myself that question. Which way would I go? Would I make the decision Lot made? After all, he's just going towards Sodom. He's not in Sodom. He's just going towards Sodom. What he needs is there. Be hard to make a living over here. It'd be hard to feed my camel. Where am I going to get the water? I think I know what decision I would have made. Do you realize that sometimes we make wrong decisions with right motivation? You see, I've made some decisions that I honestly thought was right, and they turned out to be bad, but I made bad decisions that I honestly believed was good decisions at the time, and it turned out bad. And so he chose. You say, well, he chose by sight. How many of us choose by sight? You say, hey, you're a sportsman, you like fishing. You would say to your neighbor, I hope you get a good bass boat with a good motor on it, and I'm going to take this canoe and try to do the same thing you do. It's not in us. What's in us is to get the best. What's in us is to be a success in life. What's in us is to make the best of what we have. You see, I thank God I drive a pretty good car. But you know what it is? I got to have a new car. I got to keep up with the Joneses. And so therefore, he made a choice. Turned out to be a bad choice. Then in verses 12 and 13 of Genesis 13, it says, Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities and plains and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Not only did he make a choice by sight, but he made a choice about his companion. You know, you can say what you want to, but the people you fellowship with have a great bearing on your belief system. They have a great bearing on how you perceive life and how you react in life. Over here, Abraham is a man of prayer, a man of following the Lord and doing the things that God would have him to do. He builds altars. He makes sacrifices. He has his eye on the Lord. He wants to serve the Lord. Over here is a group of people. They're committing, even known today as sodomy. They have no care for the Lord, no care for the things of the Lord. And if you mention the Lord to them, I think that they would bow up, just like people today will bow up when you confront their sin. A man that's a homosexual, he wants you to agree that his homosexuality is right. He marches for his right. What is he saying? I want you to agree with me so you're not criticizing me. And after all, I'm just like you are. They're not just like I am. They have a problem. And if I live in that society all the time, it's bound to vex me. Or to wear me out, or to tear me down. It has an effect on how I see God and how I want God to act in my life. And so he began to dwell among them. Scripture says they were exceedingly wicked. I can tell you, we live in an exceedingly wicked world today. And you can't look me in the face and tell me that it hadn't had an effect on your spirituality. It always does. And then Lot's calamity. It's in Genesis 19. And of course, you know the story. The angels came and said for him to get out of town. But up until that time, he had permitted Sodom to do some things in his life. First thing I want to call your attention to, he permitted Sodom to establish his value system. He was a success in Sodom. He was a success in the world. And you cannot say that he was not a success. By Sodom standards, by the world standards, he was a success. But in being that success, He had permitted Sodom to establish his value system. I think it's a sad thing in America when the president that, or the man running for president that promises us the most is the one that gets elected, knowing that he can't give you anything unless he takes it out of somebody else's pocket. You know, it started way back yonder when the president promised a chicken in every pot. Phooey. There ain't going to be chickens in every pot. Oh, they're coming up today, you know. We want to give everybody a $20,000 a year salary whether they work or not. Phooey. Ain't going to happen. Not enough money in America to do it, and we're about to go down. Our value systems are off. We value the things of the world more than we value the things of God. Can I tell you, I'd rather be broke and living in a shelter somewhere and have the power of God in my life than to have all the riches that America owes. You see, there has to be a value system in our life. What is our young people valuing today? I go to many churches and there's no young people in it. I go to some churches, I'm the youngest man there. Makes me feel good. But it's a shame. Our value systems has got on. No longer is it what God can do for us, but what the government can do for us, and they can't help us. Has the world around you established your value systems? You see, I come from the backwoods of nowhere. I knew what it was to have nothing. But do you know what? We was happy. And you know what? We prayed every day. You know what? We read our Bible every day. Today we got all the modern stuff. It amazes me. My mother had washed by hand. I had to draw the water and put it in the pot. It'd take her all day to wash on Monday. I hated it. If you've never drawn about 50, 60 gallons of water, you don't have an idea of what I'm talking about. But today, we have automatic washing machines. We have microwave ovens. But we're so busy, we stand in front of the microwave oven saying, "Hurry up!" And you know what? We don't have time for the things of God. I can't figure that out. You say, "Well, preacher, you have to understand this is a busy time." I want to tell you, it's not as busy as it was when I was a boy. But we had time for God. Lot had no time for God. He was busy making a life for himself. Proverbs chapter number 14, verse 12 says, "There's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end, therefore, are the ways of death." Then Lot permitted Sodom to dictate his moral views. He was a righteous man. At least his soul was righteous. Can you imagine what it did to him in Sodom day by day? And he did not take much of a stand against it. You say, "Well, how do you know he didn't?" Do you remember when the angels came and told him to get out of town? He went to his daughter and his son-in-law and said to them, "You're going to have to get out of town because God's going to destroy this place, and so you need to run." And basically his son-in-law said this, "When did you get religion? Huh? When did you get religion?" His soul was righteous. Your soul can be righteous, but you may not ever tell your children. And you may have moral views dictated by what's going on around you more than you have moral values dictated to you by the Word of God. And so his morality was he was better than the people in Sodom. He was better than those living around him in that he didn't practice what they were practicing. But down in his heart, it had wore him out to the fact that his belief system had nothing to do with his moral values anymore. He was just like those that are around him. And he didn't want to cut across their belief system. I wonder today how our morals are. I'm almost as old as David. And I have seen some changes. I remember sitting on a train in Alabama and was headed to North Carolina. And my mother was sitting beside of me. And there's a lady sitting just across from us. And that lady lit a cigarette. My mother said, "Let's move." I didn't know why we were moving. We moved to the back. And I said, "What did we move for?" She said, "Well, a lady that smokes is not." Said, "I'd rather not be around them." Today, I know people in church that have been married 3 and 4 times. Now, I'm not downing that. I understand that these things happen. But look, there has to be a commitment somewhere in our lives to live for the Lord in such a way it does not bring a reproach. You see, I was raised, and probably it was a little superstition in it. But do you know what? I respected the house. I wasn't saved, but I respected the house of God. I would never throw a rock at a window in the church. I would never do anything that was against that church. I wouldn't go in and stick my gum on the bottom, because I believed that it had been set aside for the worship of God, and I ought to respect it even if I wasn't a Christian. But today, the Christians don't even respect it anymore. And they take it as just another place, just another building. Well, it's not. We ought to have a system of beliefs that has an effect upon our lives. And if we don't have that, where are we headed? We're headed the same way Lot is. I've heard a lot of people, I turned the television on this morning, man talking about, he's standing in a cemetery talking about the resurrection. He said, "One day these graves are going to burst open." Well, they may. But the Lord don't have to burst them open to get you out of it. But he's coming. I wonder if the Lord came today. In our systems, in the way we've been worn down in America, I wonder how many say no if they had the opportunity that Lot did. How many of us would be willing to go? Lot went. His daughters went. His wife went. But the Lord said, if you look back, you're going to turn into a pillar of salt. And Lot's wife did. Do you ever stop to think why she did? I'm sure she didn't want to just look to see what God was doing. This is the reason I think she looked back, because everything that was important to her was back there. I wonder today if everything that's important to us is out there and not in here. If it is, we're making wrong decisions, not for morality's sake, as well as for the sake of ourselves. And then Lot permitted Sodom to mold his political views. Genesis 19, chapter 19, verse number 1, we find Lot sitting in the gate. That was where the judges sat. Now, do you know, I don't know how he got there. It was probably elections. But I tell you, he didn't get there running against the anti-gay crowd. This bothers me. All of the people in Washington are Christians, but they act like the devil's first cousin. There's something wrong with that. But even worse than that, good Christians voted him in. Why? We have permitted the world to dictate our political views to the point we have elevated those people that pay lip service to God and serve the devil all of their life. And it's a wrong thing to do. And you ought never to permit the society around you to dictate your political views. I said, what do you think of Obama? If you can't say something good, don't say anything. And then Lot permitted Sodom to establish his family values. As I said earlier, he had a problem in his family. His daughters went with him, but committed terrible acts. Why? They didn't know any better. They didn't know any better. And if you read how they come to the conclusion they'd have sex with him, in the natural, it made sense. Dad's not going to have any more kids, so we'll help him out on that. He won't have a family. In the natural, it made sense. But it was against everything God stood for. And they did not know the difference. Let me ask you this question. Do our young people know the difference in the world system and God's system today? If they do, it's not going to be taught to them in school. It's not going to be taught to them in Sunday school all that much because they're just there an hour a week, if that much. It's going to be taught to them in a home by people that love God, willing to serve God, and give them a system to judge the world when they're out there in it. And his children did not have it. And the reason they did not have it is because Sodom had established his family values. Is there any hope for us? You say it's a dim picture, brother. And it is a dim picture. But I believe it mirrors the society we're living in today, don't you? I believe that we could go down the list and at least say we know somebody this is happening to. And to tell the truth, we can say to some extent we've been worn down by the wicked ways of the world. Go back with me to 2 Peter, if you will. Chapter number 2, and I'll read you verses 9 and 10. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanliness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. But is he saying, it's great for us. He is saying the Lord knows how to deliver you out of that temptation. The Lord knows how to deliver you out of the system of the world so that your values become, or his values become your values. His thoughts become your thought. His rules, if you will, become your rules. I get so sick and tired of hearing these radio and television preachers say, you know, I was in this church and they had so many rules and had so many regulations. And one day I just understood that I could be so free of those things and I could enjoy Christianity and do whatever I wanted to. That deserves 3 Chinese cheers. Phooey, phooey, phooey. There are moral values that are in the Word of God and you cannot bypass them and still be right with God. And we have to understand that. Sure, there are rules and regulations. But that God give them to us. I don't give them. And I can't make you obey them. But I can tell you one thing. God lays them out and he says, if you want to have a happy life and you want to have a good relationship with me, you do these things. And if you don't do those things, you're not going to have a happy life and you're not going to have a good relationship with me. Now, which one do you want? I tell you what, I want a life that's filled by the Spirit of God. And I tell you this, and honest to God, I'm telling you the truth. I've been preaching for 40 years, over 40 years. And every day of my life, I ask God to make me a preacher. I'd like to preach one sermon that would move people and move them to repentance. We preach, and it flows off of people's back like water off of a duck's back for the simple reason we're not willing to let God establish our value system, our moral values, and our family values, and let him be relevant in our home. It's not God's fault either. Because he said, I know how to deliver you out of that, and I know how to reserve the unjust unto damnation. Now let me ask you this question. Would you want to be delivered? I remember I'll have to tell this. You may not even commensurate with it, but I moved to Chicago and hadn't been there long, and there was a lady's mother died. She was not a member of our church, but the lady came to our church. It was her mother, her grandmother that died. And so I decided I'd go to the funeral with a member of our church. It was a Catholic church. I'd never been in a Catholic church. So we went in and started to sit down, and the lady got to the end of the pew, and she went down to do the genuflect. I grabbed her. I thought she had fallen. She did not want to be delivered. You get where I'm coming from? A lot of people sitting in our churches know they've fallen. But they don't want to be delivered. Because if they're delivered, it's going to cause them to make great changes in their life. And to tell you the truth about it, we get quite comfortable in our way of life. And we don't want God to disturb us. We want the preacher to tell us the truth, but we don't want to practice the truth. We want to be fundamental in our beliefs, but we're not so fundamental in our practices. So the question is, this morning, do you want to be delivered? Have you been worn out by the world? Has it bogged you down? Has it got you to the point that all you see around you is sinfulness, and you say, what's the use? They're not going to change. I'm quite comfortable the way I am. You know, sometimes it's not good to be comfortable. I enjoy sitting in my easy chair, nice and warm, and I get comfortable in it. But when I get comfortable, I go to sleep. A lot of Christians got comfortable, and they just kind of dozed off somewhere between the dream world and reality, and they like it there. Another time you get comfortable. If you're in a cold place and you begin to freeze to death, you get comfortable. The cold don't bother you anymore. Have we gotten so cold that we're comfortable in our coolness and don't want anybody to rescue us? The good thing is, if you want to be rescued, the Scripture says He knows how to deliver you. I don't know you this morning, but I'd say in a building with this many people in it, there are some here that have never been saved. And the problem is, you're comfortable in your lostness. I pray if that's the case, God will make you so miserable that you can't sleep, eat, or do anything else until you come to Him. Then in a building this size, I also know that there's many that the world has worn you down. Oh yeah, it's not easy. And you've gotten to the point that you say, what's the use? And you have begun to permit the world to establish your belief system. And when you do that, it's next to death. Spiritual death I'm talking about. This morning, as we sing and give the invitation, if God's spoken to your heart in any way, why don't you just come this morning and take care of it? You're not going to find a better time. You say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. I like what the Scripture said. The Scripture never talks about tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And it's not off out yonder somewhere. It's right now. And if God's speaking to you, you need to move right now.